Congress has been urging the Pentagon to speed up the finding and identifying remains of service members dating back to World War II. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel has promised to fix deficiencies in that recovery process. As part of the effort, the Pentagon is consolidating two agencies that had roughly equal responsibilities. For details, we spoke with Michael Lumpkin, Assistant Secretary of Defense for Special Operations and Low-Intensity Conflict. He tells us the objective of this new command.
Secretary Hagel has directed a restructuring of the entire accounting community based on Government Accountability Office studies and a cost assessment and program evaluation done this past year. The Secretary has realized that we have some opportunities to restructure the accounting community. So what he's authorized and directed is the creation of a new defense agency to focus on identifying those who are missing from past conflicts.
So where are you in the process? We've been keeping up with it through news reports, but where are you right now?
As I mentioned earlier, the Secretary has directed that we're the what on what we're going to do. So we're working through the implementation plan on the how we're going to do it. The things that he has asked us to do is that we're going to create a new defense agency. So we're going to take DPMO, the Defense POW-MIA command here in Washington, and then we're going to take the Joint POW-MIA Accounting Command in Hawaii and the parts of the Life Science Equipment Lab out of the Midwest, and we're going to merge them together into a single defense agency under a civilian leader to synchronize capabilities and to remove the bureaucratic barriers that have prevented our workforce from being as effective as they could be.
Yeah, how has it been having two separate groups, really worlds almost a world apart geographically, doing the same thing essentially?
Well, what it's led to over the years is some redundancies, and I think what we have is an opportunity to remove the redundancies in efforts and then take the workforce, and we have a very, very talented workforce and very passionate about the mission, and recapitalize them so we can work harder and faster to identify those missing.
And it's my understanding from recent congressional hearings that it's not just two agencies coming together, but in fact even more like a half dozen DOD offices have been involved in the entire process of spotting and identifying remains of soldiers. So I'm just wondering how that has hindered the mission thus far.
I wouldn't say that the mission has been hindered. I mean, I think, again, we have an opportunity. And again, under the Secretary's direction, what we have the ability to do, we kind of have a blank canvas to restructure. And as we do that, we're going to bring, you know, aspects of the Defense Intelligence Agency. The service, each of the services has a casualty office. We're going to bring them in and establish very clear lines and relationships as we build this new agency to streamline the processes and be more effective. And one of the principal things we're working to do is to make these families of those missing the center of this effort and to be more responsive for them and make sure that they're satisfaction and they're getting exactly what they need from the Defense Department.
Give us a sense of the scope of the problem of how many people this Defense Department reasonably believe can be identified going back however far you are going back.
Well, by statute, we go back to World War II, and right now the current rolls of those missing show about 83,000 service members that are unaccounted for. Of those, we believe between 19 and 28,000 are realistically recoverable. I say that because many are lost at sea and in circumstances where the remains themselves will be difficult or impossible to recover. So what we're part of this restructuring we're doing is we're going to make sure we can effectively categorize each of those missing so that we can talk to the families and make sure that they clearly understand where their loved one falls and whether we are able to effectively recover the remains and bring closure for them.
And I have a question I've always been curious about. Do you know the names of people that have never been found, that there's no corresponding remains, or are there remains that no one knows the name of?
Yeah, we have a comprehensive list of those that are missing. So we have that. But there are numerous grave sites throughout the world with unidentified remains.
And I want to ask you to fill out what you mentioned about making families at the center, letting them be at the center of this new organization. What have they been saying about how they've been treated so far, and how are you going to make them at the center of the organization?
Well, I mean, I recently had the opportunity to attend a family update in Minneapolis, and where I had a chance to sit down with a number of families and talk with them, and as well as their case officers who are managing the case of their missing loved one. And across the board, I hear nothing but positive things from the families, and most of them know the name of their case officer and speak very highly of them. Very good relationship. But what we have to do is to make sure that we look at across the entire family community, because we have a family of families of those that are missing, and we have to just make sure that we put them at the center. Customer, and I hate, you know, there's a business analogy here, if we make them the customer, because the missing service member can't speak for themselves. So if we look at those designated family members and make sure that we're meeting their needs and focus on their satisfaction so we can bring closure to them for their missing loved one, there's no downside. It is the right thing to do as we put them in the center of this discussion and to make sure we bring closure to them.
We're speaking with Assistant Secretary of Defense for Special Operations and Low Intensity Conflict, Michael Lumpkin. And so what will the agency do perhaps differently from a technology or technical or searching standpoint? Are there some best practices that will be consolidated into this new agency?
Well, there's several things we're doing. First of all, we're going to, as we create this new agency, is we're going to create a single database of all those that are missing, because we have multiple agencies now and there are multiple databases subsequently. We're also going to make sure we have case files for all of those that are missing. Because World War II missing were not added to the Department of Defense's mission until 2010, we still have some case files that are outstanding to be created. So we're working to do those. We're also assigning an Armed Forces Medical Examiner to the identification process, and this will treat past conflict missing identifications on the same as we do with current identifications and for those that for current conflict. So we'll have a single standard across the Department of Defense. And the final aspect that we're really focusing on is the opportunity for public-private partnerships as we build to try to increase our capacity to identify those that are missing. There are many great organizations that are out there that are working, whether it's doing archival information and building case files, and actually some that actually do site excavations. And we look forward to opportunities to working with them. And we're working through the process and the best way to do that now.
Tell us a little bit about the staff that you imagine operating this new agency, particularly what sort of person will lead it?
Well, we're expecting it to be a civilian-led organization, it will be a politically appointed senior executive. Our workforce is an extremely talented and in many aspects, very technical workforce who will continue to function in the same ways, spectacular ways they have in this new agency. So, again, I think we're taking the best of breed of our people, and we're going to put them on the right mission sets and reduce the bureaucratic barriers and give them the tools necessary to be successful and to bring closure to families.
Do you expect everybody who is now working on this mission to have a job at the end of the day when this is combined into one single agency?
Well, one of our focus points here is when we're working through exactly the implementation plan right now, but we see no reductions in the manpower associated with the entire accounting community enterprise as we move forward and as we build this new agency.
Now, Congress has set some pretty ambitious goals for yearly quotas, if you will, of identifying lost service members. Is that still realistic, and will this help achieve that quota?
Well, Congress has directed the Department of Defense by 2015 to have the capacity to identify 200 missing annually. We have not met that goal yet. I do believe when we reorganize the accounting community, we reduce the bureaucratic barriers, we bring and emphasize the public-private partnerships, that we will have the capacity within our lifelines as directed by the Congress.
And just to underscore that point, I understand that you have been able to identify about 60 remains in the last fiscal year. Do I have that number right?
Pretty close. In that, I believe it's actually 61, but yes.
Okay, so there's a ways to go to 200.
There is. And we have our work cut out for us. It takes about the average identification from doing the research to actually doing a full identification and notifying the family. It takes about 6.5 years is what it takes. Just historically, I believe we can bring that number down significantly. And again, if we leverage all the tools and maximize the capability of our workforce, who, again, is second to none, I believe that we'll be able to meet that capacity as directed by the Congress.
And as you march forward from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Desert Storm, and Iraq and Afghanistan, plus some minor conflicts in between Grenada and so forth, that 23,000 maximum that you believe are actually recoverable or nameable, where do most of them fall, and in what part of the world does that involve?
You know, it's a great question, and we're still doing some analysis on this. A lot of it is Southeast Asia, but Europe as well, as far as those that can be recovered from World War II. So we have numerous unidentified grave sites throughout the world that we may be able to identify.
And what is your next step? I understand that you've got a deadline coming up next month.
Yeah, right now, again, we're building the implementation plan, and we've broken that up into three phases. First, we're focusing on the mission. We're making sure we get the mission synchronized. Then we're focusing on the processes, and then we're focused on the people and as we build this. So we expect to have our initial operational capability of the new agency on 1 January 2015, and we expect to be fully operationally capable by 1 January 2016. That said, while we're building this new agency, the current efforts are going to continue. And in fact, we're focusing to increase the number beyond the 61 that we identified last year, this fiscal year.